I know we have some cat owners. I don't know if I shook someone's hand or something and then rubbed my face, but I'm having some allergy issues. And unless you just came in from the fields haying, that's the only other option. So, and I grew up on a farm, so hay season was rough sometimes. But you know, everyone here, I think it's fair to say, have had our ups and downs. And maybe our downs sometimes stay down. If you've ever been on an airplane before, sometimes landings are smooth. They don't come often, but maybe you've been in those landings where you just barely feel it. You just feel the little bubble, and you're on the ground. Sometimes, though, it feels like you're shot down. And that's life. That's life. Sometimes we have smooth landings, but sometimes we have really rough and turbulent times. And there are times where it just seems like nothing goes right. You ever have one of those days? That's usually how they start. You spill the coffee, you burn your mouth, and then the dog does something you don't like, and it just keeps snowballing. But life can be like that, where nothing goes right. It just doesn't seem like anything's going to get better. And it almost feels like there's this big stone in front of you, and you just can't escape the discouragement and the frustration you face. But there is hope. And Jesus talks about this hope in John chapter 11. I invite you this morning to turn with me to John 11, and this is where we're going to be. So keep your Bibles handy as we read this account that the apostle whom Jesus loved penned for us. But John chapter 11, starting at verse 1, you know, one of the things of good Bible study is when you take a text of Scripture to notice things that are said over and over, things that are repeated. So I want you to look in verse 1 of John 11. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The sisters therefore sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, the one whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When therefore he heard that he was sick, he stayed then 2 days longer in the place where he was. We'll just stop right there. So this is 2,000 years ago, and they lived in a world of sickness. I think we can relate to that. And on our prayer list, we have a lot of sick people that we pray for. But it's always different when it hits home, isn't it? You know, someone will say, yeah, my cousin so-and-so is sick. We need to pray for them. Okay, I'll pray for them. And we just kind of, we pray for them, and almost like it's a checklist. All right, now what do I do? But when it hits home, things change. And this one hit home for Jesus. There were few friends that Jesus loved more than Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And it just seems that whenever he's in this area, he always stays at their house. 5 of those 6 verses, did you notice, tell us that Lazarus was sick. 5 of those 6 verses say he was sick. That's the emphasis. This guy is really sick. And his sisters, Mary and Martha, are very concerned. But they knew that there was one who could help. And so they call for Jesus. They did the right thing. How many times, though, do we try to fix our own problems on our own instead of taking them to the Lord? Many here this morning, and I don't know everybody's story. I think sometimes the preacher knows all the details of everybody's life. But I don't. But there's a lot of issues and a lot of problems that people here are going through, and tough times. And it's not that you lack faith. The Apostle Peter tells us, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. But let's be real. Even when we do that, even when we take it to the Lord in prayer, even when we cast our anxieties into the lap of God, sometimes our faith is still burdened. And I'll tell you why. Sometimes it's because the answer doesn't come fast enough. Quite frankly, sometimes the answer we get from God is rather slow in how we would pertain to slowness. I want you to think about Lazarus. During this time, Lazarus' family is helpless. All they can do is gather around him and watch this illness take control of their loved one. If this was today, we'd say, we're calling in hospice for Lazarus. Why didn't Jesus just go and heal him? He had the time to. Why didn't Jesus do that? Well, here's the answer. God knows. And you leave it at that. The Lord always has a reason for the things that he chooses to do and the way that he does them. But because we can't see the whole picture, we're oftentimes burdened, and maybe even our faith gets weakened. What John 11 is life 101. It's how life really is. There's no fairy tales here. This is how life really is. It's kind of like, do you remember the first funeral you ever went to as a kid? It's one of those things that kind of shocks you into, what are we doing here? What's going on? The things that we never think will happen to us, you know what sometimes happens? They happen to us. You see, I've convinced myself in my mind, I'm never going to get cancer. That doesn't happen to me. That happens to someone else. A car accident. Well, that never happens to my family. That's going to be somebody else. We think things like this never happen to us, and then they do. And so we cry and we pray and we ask the Lord to heal. These sisters did, hopefully, what you and I would do. They called for Jesus. But sometimes when we call on God for something and we don't get an answer, our faith starts to weaken. Anyone would be distraught if they were in the sandals of Mary and Martha. If they had to watch their brother just lay there at death's door. But it wasn't just the sisters who felt this burden. The apostles, too. They were good friends of Lazarus. It just seems like Lazarus was the kind of guy that everybody liked. Why did such a good and righteous man like Lazarus have to suffer these things? Well, look at verse number 6 one more time. When therefore he heard that he was sick, he stayed then 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going to go there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." This he said, and after he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But I go that I may awaken him out of sleep." The disciples therefore said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover." Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. Then Jesus therefore said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, therefore, who's called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." 2 days. 2 days is a long time. 2 days after receiving the news that Lazarus was ill, Jesus responds, "It's about time for us to go back to Judea now." But the clock was ticking. Jesus didn't seem concerned. The apostles don't seem concerned either. They're fairly certain that Lazarus is going to recover because Jesus said this sickness is not unto death. But Jesus didn't mean that Lazarus wouldn't die. He meant that death would not be the final outcome. The final outcome would be that God was glorified. I think when we talk about faith, especially this past year, I know there's a lot of signs in the lawn. I'm sure you've seen them, faith over fear. But when we talk about faith and what we've gone through in recent times, I think we all realize that just because you have faith doesn't mean you wouldn't get COVID. Just because you had faith didn't mean you weren't going to die from COVID. There were some faithful Christians that lost their life during this pandemic. But what faith does is remove the stone. Faith looks at death not with fear, but with hope. The Christian, even in the midst of illness, does not fear death. Jesus didn't fear death. In fact, he says, let's go back to Bethany. That's only 2 miles from Jerusalem, where they tried stoning him back in chapter 10. Jesus replies that he still has work to do, and even if it's the last hour of the day, he will finish his work. But the apostles not only misunderstood what he said and what he meant, they also misunderstood the reason for going to see Lazarus. Jesus, if Lazarus is asleep, then he must be getting better. Sounds like he's recovering well. We don't even need to go to Bethany now. We can just avoid all danger. But Jesus corrects their thinking. Lazarus was not sleeping. He was dead. In fact, Jesus makes it point blank. Lazarus is dead. Now that sounds familiar. If you recall when the great servant of God, Moses, passed away, the words of God to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. If Jesus had been present at the sickness of Lazarus, I'm convinced that he would have healed his friend. I don't think he would have let Lazarus suffer. I'm convinced he would have healed him. But that wouldn't have produced as much faith. However, to raise a man who had been dead for 4 days, that would boost their faith and it would prepare the disciples for another upcoming death and resurrection that they'd see in the near future. In many ways, raising Lazarus prepared the disciples for what was going to happen to Jesus. Raising a man who had been dead for 4 days was certainly something that would bring glory to God. Please never forget that. Even in times of difficulty, in times of tragedy, in times of sickness, and yes, even in times of death, to God be the glory. All the time. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary still sat in the house. Martha, therefore, said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. And when she had said this, she went away and called Mary her sister, saying secretly, the teacher's here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she arose quickly and was coming to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but he was still in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came to where Jesus was, she saw him, fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Well, Martha had hoped that Jesus would show up to heal Lazarus. He didn't. Then she hoped that at least he would show up to bury Lazarus. He didn't. By the time Jesus made it to Bethany, the funeral has long been over. 4 days ago, Martha was wondering, what kind of a friend are you really, Jesus? I mean, she was hurt. Have you ever noticed people say things they don't often mean in times of grief? But also in times of grief, people say things that they do mean. You ever notice the filter comes off in times of grief? I think these are true words of Martha. This is how she really feels. She's hurt. The one who could have made a difference didn't. And Martha wants to know why. And maybe you can relate. Maybe some loved one that you were so close to ventured near the edge of death, and so you turned to the Lord for help. Martha thought, he will come. Lazarus is sick, but our friend Jesus will come. After all, Jesus healed the paralytic. Jesus healed the leper, and he wasn't even good friends with them. Lazarus is one of his best friends. We're like family to him. Martha thought, as soon as he hears that Lazarus is sick, he will come running. But he didn't. And Lazarus got worse. She kept looking out the window, but Jesus didn't show up. Her brother starts to drift in and out of consciousness, and she comforts him, saying, "Lazarus, just hold on. Jesus is coming. Just wait. Just hold on." But the knock at the door never came. Jesus never arrived, not to help, not to heal, and not to bury. And now, 4 days too late, he finally shows up. And her words in verse 21 have echoed in every cemetery, I guarantee you. "Lord, if you had been doing your part, my loved one would not have died. If you would have done what was right, God, my baby would have lived. If only you had answered my prayers, my arms would not be empty. Lord, if you were doing what you were supposed to, my spouse would still be here today." You know, sometimes when it comes to the death of a loved one, sometimes we question who God really is, which eats away at our faith. But why is it that we interpret death as the absence of God? Why is that? Why do we think that if the body is not healed, well, that means that God's not present? Why do we think that? Is healing the only way that God demonstrates his presence? Sometimes we think so. And so when we have an ill loved one that's right there on the edge of death, and we pray, but it doesn't seem that God answers our prayers, we get angry at him. And we replace our belief with blame. However, as Martha questions Jesus, not all of her faith has gone away. Jesus gives her a promise, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha says, "I know that he will." Now, Jesus was talking about the immediate future. She was talking about the resurrection on the last day. Yet, Martha still never lost faith in that. She held on to that hope of the resurrection just as we all must. We can't beat up old Martha too much here. You are the Christ, the Son of God. What a confession. Well, one sister down, one to go. So Mary now enters the scene, and when she sees Jesus, she falls at his feet and she repeats exactly what her sister had said. Like Martha, Mary's faith was being weakened as well. Look at verse 33. Verse 33, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept. And so the Jews were saying, 'Behold how he loved him.' But some of them said, 'Could not this man who opened the eyes of him who was blind have kept this man also from dying?'" Now, when it says Jesus was troubled, that doesn't just mean that he was having a moment. It literally means his whole body was shaking with grief. You ever come to that point where you're just shaking? Whether it's grief or whether it's anxiety or whatever it may be. The Greeks in that day and time believed that no deity should ever show any form of emotion. What does Jesus, God in the flesh, show us? A God that is heartless, or a God that cares beyond what we can understand? Jesus loved these two sisters, and he can't hold it back anymore. And I think if we're truthful, one of the main reasons we cry at funerals is because we see someone else crying. You ever held it all together until you looked over at so-and-so, and then you just lose it? I think that's exactly what happened with Jesus. He weeps bitterly. The friends of Jesus saw his tears as evidence of his love, but yet some of those friends said, "Well, if Jesus loved Lazarus so much, then why didn't he heal him?" All of these people, the apostles, the two sisters, the Jewish friends, they've all had their faith shaken by the death of a loved one, But now it's time to reinforce their faith. Verse 38. Verse 38 reads, Jesus, therefore, again, being deeply moved, so that he's shaking again, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And so they removed the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou heardest me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that thou didst send me." Just stop there. Jesus comes to the burial place of Lazarus. It was just a cave with a stone rolled over the entrance. That stone was saying, this is final. This stone is not going to be rolled away. Death was tightening its grip on Lazarus. I'm never letting go of him. And Jesus, staring at the tomb, says, "Remove the stone." Martha protests, but Jesus reminds her of the message that he had said to her earlier. And when the stone was removed, the first thing Jesus does is give thanks to God. He was about to be glorified. Jesus said, "Remove this stone and you will see God." Stones have never stood in God's way. Not in Bethany 2,000 years ago, and they don't today. Every eye was on Jesus until verse 43. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." He who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many, therefore, of the Jews who had come to Mary and beheld what he had done, believed in him. Lazarus, come forth. When you hear somebody that communicates with the dead, I'm not sure what you think about them. But I know of one who can communicate with the dead. "Lazarus, come forth." Every eye switched over to that tomb. There the dead lay. Silence. Jesus stood face to face with that tomb and he demanded that it release his friend. Nobody moved. Except for Lazarus. Deep within the tomb, that stilled heart begins to beat again. His rapt eyes pop open, and a mummified man in a tomb sits up. The NIV reads, "The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, 'Take off the grave clothes and let him go.'" What's wrong with this picture? When we go to a funeral, we expect the dead to stay dead, don't we? Dead men don't walk out of tombs. What kind of a God is this? It's the God who holds the keys of life and death. This is the God you want at your funeral. He raised Lazarus, and you know what? He's going to do it again. He's promised he would, and he showed us that he can. That same voice that woke the boy near Nain, that same voice that stirred the still daughter of Jairus, that awakened the corpse of Lazarus, that same voice will speak again one day. And when it does, there will be no more death. Can you imagine what Martha and Mary would be feeling as they unwrap that face cloth and they see their brother's warm smile once again? They would be even more convinced of what Martha said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." Now, we look at this story as a happy ending, right? Was it really, though, for Lazarus? When he died, he was happy. He was at peace. And then Jesus calls him back into this wicked world where what's he going to have to do again one day? Die again. What's it like to cross the river of death and then be called back? You can be sure of one thing. Lazarus was never the same afterwards. Do you think he kept his funeral clothes as a reminder? He probably looked at life much differently. He probably had a new appreciation for his loved ones, his sisters. But I tell you what, he had a new appreciation for his God. That is what this account is about. God's power over life and death. And our Lord holds those keys and no other. God has the power to restore what is dead to new life on the other side. But God also has the power to restore what is dead to new life on this side as well. That's the whole message of the gospel. God has the power to give new life right now. If you find yourself entombed with discouragement, grief, Christ says, remove the stone. If you have doubts and fears, if you've ever made mistakes and you are uncertain of their outcome, Christ says, remove the stone. If you're about to give up hope, you're about to throw in the towel, Christ says, remove the stone. There's no reason to stay in a cave of discouragement because Christ says, remove the stone. The troubles that we're facing right now in our own personal lives, they can be used for the glory of God if we just keep having faith in Him. And that doesn't mean that all of life's problems are just going to go away. But I do know that our Lord has promised us He will never fail us, nor forsake us. He'll bring us through. When they began filming the epic movie Ben-Hur, many of you remember, not the remake. Hollywood's remakes are no good. The old Ben-Hur. And as they were filming that, the director, Cecil B. DeMille, talked to Charlton Heston, the star of the movie, about the very important chariot race. Remember that chariot race at the end of the movie? And he decided that Heston should actually learn how to drive a chariot rather than using a stunt double so they could make the movie as real as possible. And so Heston agreed to take chariot driving lessons. And it was very difficult to learn how to drive a chariot four wide. And after several difficult days of training, Heston reported back to DeMille, and Heston said, "I think I can drive the chariot all right, Cecil, but I'm not sure I can win the race." DeMille smiled and said, "Heston, you just stay in the race and I'll make sure you win." Aren't those the words of God to His children? God is saying, He's saying, Melinda, He's saying, Shirley, He's saying, Mike, you just stay in the race and I'll make sure that you win. Look how far God's brought us already. And He's not even done with us yet. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." I wonder if Lazarus ever walked back to the tomb. I wonder if he took a daily stroll there and just reminisced about how he laid in there for 4 days. I wonder if Lazarus didn't shake his head in amazement over what happened there. And there are many here this morning, and you know who you are, who can look back over their shoulder and shake their head in amazement at where they might be today if Christ had not changed their lives. Myself included. Some have been addicted to alcohol. Some have been addicted to drugs, but Christ said, remove the stone. We have many here who have issues or had issues with their jobs, issues with their families, their marriages, but Christ said, remove the stone. Brethren, you just stay in the race and the Lord will make sure that you win. I want you to turn to the hymn of encouragement, please. Now, some of you say, "Yeah, Jason, I remember that one. You preached that before." Yep, I did. And whenever I re-preach something, I'll tweak it, make little changes here and there. But sometimes in my sermons, I'll just mention people's names like I did with Melinda and Shirley and Mike. I had to change those names here because the last time I preached it, I said the name Catherine and I said the name David. They stayed in the race. And they won. The great Yogi Berra once said, It ain't over till it's over. And any sports fan knows it ain't over till it's over. We've seen some remarkable comebacks in sports. And that's the message of the Scriptures too. It ain't over till it's over. But there's another message from the Scriptures. When it's over, it's over. We invite anyone that has not put on Christ to do so. To do so this side before that river of death that we all must cross. To be baptized into Jesus and have your sins washed away. I hope that we always look at accounts like this, not as a fairy tale. You know, I like that story about raising Lazarus. This is no story. This is not a fairy tale. This happened. This is life 101. And life 101 deals with sickness and death. Unfortunately, that's just something that we do. But a life without Christ is not a life at all. Let's remain seated as we sing this last song.